This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A heartfelt welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We're thankful to have you with us today and hope you continue to tune in every week on this station.
Today we are going to discuss the responsibilities and the opportunities of the Christian Father. We pray that you will stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this Trinity Sunday, we thank you that you have come as one person, but to reveal yourself as our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. Lord, work in our heart, and grant, O God, that we may be brought to faith and a trust in you as a Savior of this world, the one who can guide us, direct us, and forgive us. Lord, speak to us through your word this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, our calendars remind us of some very important holidays which give us the opportunity to think of important people and events in our lives. In May, we celebrated Mother's Day and Memorial Day, and today we have two important days of celebration. Father's Day, that is set aside to honor and challenge fathers, and the Festival of the Holy Trinity, where we remember once again that as Christians, we believe that God is one, but he has revealed himself in a triune way. In this Festival of the Holy Trinity, it is important again to remember that God is not three gods, he is one God, but he has revealed himself as a creator, and created us in his image, and has given to us a body and a soul and a mind. He is our Redeemer, the one who, when we fell away in sin, came to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And what the law could not do, take away sin, Jesus Christ could. And so we are redeemed and restored into fellowship with the Creator. He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Spirit, God who works in our hearts to convict us of our sins, to bring us to Christ Jesus, and to build faith in our hearts that we are able to say, I believe in Christ as my Redeemer and my Lord. The festival of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see this very well presented in our baptismal service. For example, it is in our baptismal service that these words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I use. I pray that you remember the day when you stood there at the font with this child in your arms. But that is only the beginning of the covenant that God is establishing with your child. Remember that Jesus also taught you that you were to teach that child the Ten Commandments and the Creed and the Lord's Prayer, and that as he grew in years, you'd walk with him. Teach them to obey all things, that they might come to that spiritual experience in their life where they could see that Jesus was not only a person who was read about on the pages of the Bible, but this was the Jesus who would come to them and say, you are my child. I'm going to walk with you. You're going to be mine forever and ever. And glorious is that day when you can see that your child has that knowledge. You know, he not only knows about Christ, but now he really knows him. When that happens, fathers and mothers can take great joy to see that awakening come. The awakening of the fact that here is my child who is anxious to have the devotion that night for the family in the home, and then you listen to him pray. Or the daughter who came to her parents one day and said, you know, at the university, I had to write a lecture or an essay on freedom. So I chose as my topic, my freedom is in Jesus Christ. She didn't know what the professor would do with it. She didn't know whether he was a believer or not. But after he had passed the papers back, he asked if he might have an appointment with her. And as they sat together in a room, he said to her, I read your essay with great interest. Very well done. But I'm concerned about the topic. Tell me more about this Jesus. I tell you, there is a case where the child was brought to the baptismal font, baptized, but the parents took this seriously. And so we say that, and let me be repetitive again. Since you present this child for holy baptism, I charge you that you faithfully and diligently teach him the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And that as he grows in years, you place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, bring him to the services of God's house. See, notice, bring, not send, bring. Bring him to the services of God's house and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that abiding in the covenant of his baptism and in communion with the church, the child may grow up to lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. I therefore call on you to answer in his or her stead. While this charge is read to both the father and the mother, this being Father's Day, I would especially like to place emphasis on the part the father plays in the Christian home. Now let's turn to the Bible passage known as the Great Commission. Jesus is speaking. It is after the resurrection, and the disciples are with him in Galilee. When he appears before them, he says, "Now then, go and make disciples of all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." These words are addressed to us fathers. To whom do we go? Well, Jesus said, to the world, that's to the far corners of the earth. And very, very few of us took that literally and went to far parts of the world. But where else is this world? Sometimes we forget so close to us. Who are the most precious people in this world as far as you and I are concerned? Is it not our family, our wives, our sons, our daughters? Is that not natural that you would talk to them from the time that child is an infant until he grows up about the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you believe the Christian father is seen by his children with a Bible in his hands that's going to make a great impact? What must they think when they see him bowing his head in prayer with a family around him? How do you think they feel when they see his love expounded again and again in so many ways, where they see him loving their mother? It is a great, great opportunity for a father to demonstrate what it is to live as a child of God in this world, as a father of the Christian faith to the children. Now, I want to thank you for the many Christian fathers in this world. You know the joy that has been yours watching those children grow up, not only physically, socially, intellectually, and also spiritually. There are some joyous times that we have with them. Well, isn't it a thrill when you see that their conduct is growing spiritually? They're anxious to go to the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. The question is not how you're going to go to church today. For in your house, we all went to church, right? You would say? Sure. That was bred into their soul as little children. Doesn't it give them a security to know that no matter what sorrow might come their way, Jesus will always be with them? The Savior is always there to forgive them their sins and to strengthen them in loving one another. That comes from the Father. But I want to talk to you a little while this morning, and I would be remiss if I didn't. Are there not some parents who are good parents? You provide for your children in every way, it seems, except spiritually, and they're only in part. You're going to see to it that they have a good education. They're well clothed. And so it goes with all of the material gifts the parents can give from the cradle almost to the time that they are ready to die. But there are some of you parents who are these good parents. I'm not saying that you're not moral parents. I'm not saying that you're not even probably Christian parents. And you do take them to church when everything is all right, but who have really not quite understood what they meant when they said at the baptismal font, "I do. I will take that child home and I will introduce that child to Jesus Christ. How do I know this? I used to once in a while hear a child say something in my confirmation class. Now, these were 15-year-olds. About their home. And what went on there, I did not solicit it. They simply offered it. And some of those classes were pretty large, but they were willing to do that. So then it would pursue the that we would pursue the question, what about prayer? And here was a child who would say, I have never in my life have I seen my father or heard my father pray, except the table prayer that we often do say, come Lord Jesus and be our guest, and may these gifts to us be blessed. Or perhaps the Lord's Prayer. I have never heard him pour out his heart for himself, for strength to do the things that he needed to do that day. For us, as we were going out into a world that had all kinds of temptations for us. I never heard him say, God, this is the junior-senior prom. It is loaded with many temptations. But we pray that you will be with our son or our daughter tonight and walk with them through that social event in their high school days. Keep them from all harm. Oh God, keep them from all sin. Never heard you say that. Now that doesn't mean that throws you out of the Christian faith, but it is simply pointing out to you the importance of this prayer in the raising of your children. How often have you taken the Bible during the week and said it's time for our devotion? And then you read a passage of scripture of how Jesus said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Probably been a heavy day. You might have received word that someone in your family has died. Someone who was cared for very much. And now he or she was no longer with you on this earth. I tell you, we can there begin to talk about life after death, that Christ has prepared the heavenly home for us. It's one thing for the child to hear the pastor read, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and get you to be with myself. That where I am, there you may be also. But it's another thing when they hear their father saying about his father, my father introduced me to that Savior, and now he is in the heavenly home. And that's what I want to do for you tonight. Introduce you to where you will go when you die if you trust in Jesus Christ. Fathers, that's what a Christian father does. He is more than a good father. He is more than one who takes care of his child in just about every way. He is one who brings that child to the throne of grace. Isn't this a good time to ask yourself, have I done what I promised to do at the baptismal font? If you have not, it is not too late to have a visit with your child. An 80-year-old dad telling his 30-year-old son or daughter that it is time to sit down and to have a good talk about their personal relationship with the Lord. That's a pretty important topic. Things are not going well in your child's marriage. Maybe they just deserve a little counsel from dear old Dad. What do you think has caused that disturbance in your son or daughter's marriage? Have you dared to ask them, or did you have the confidence to ask them, tell me about your family devotion? Tell me about praying together. How often do you as a husband and a wife pray with one another? They perhaps will say, well, those things are very, very personal. We haven't done it. You mean to say that you don't do that regularly, or that perhaps you've never done it? Here you are, a couple who might be 30 or 40 years old yourself. You've got little children. And you, when the children are in bed and are sleeping, and you lie there on your bed, have never folded your hands and said, let's pray. And then you could listen to one another as you pour out your heart. I tell you, I think there would be fewer people in the divorce courts if there were more people who are lifting their voices to God in prayer. Well, these are just a few of the thoughts that I had for this Father's Day. And remember once again, it is not only to the Father that I speak, or that the Word of God speaks, but it is to the Father and the wife. But this being the Father's Day, I wanted to put the emphasis right there. Because it seems so often, mother is the one who is given the responsibility of seeing that the children get the spiritual care. We have a picture in our home. It's the home of the Sunday morning scene, where the wife, the mother, is on her way to church with the three children. Dad is still in his pajamas, smoking a cigarette and reading the sports section of the paper as they walk by with a hard, hurt look on their face. Could that be the scene in your home? Change it, will you? Make a decision to change it on this Father's Day. Amen. you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the one who can really make our home a joyful place to be. A place where we have those who love one another and who are anxious to share the Word of God together. And so as we have talked about it in the sermon today, we invoke your blessings in a very special way on this Father's Day to the dads, that where they have been silent, perhaps out of fear, perhaps out of not having the conviction, that they would begin today and talk to Bob and Betty about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Grant that we in the church may proclaim that word of God so clearly that the dads can be strengthened there and that they can go home and bring their joys in Christ to the family. Hear us as together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's gospel message will fill you with renewed faith in the coming week. Christian Crusaders thanks those who have supported this ministry through their prayers and financial contributions. Your gift brings the gift of the Word to thousands each week, many of whom who cannot leave their homes for worship. To become a broadcast sponsor, please consider a gift of $100 or more if you can, which covers the costs of 1 week's program on the station to which you listen. Please direct your gift to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We can become new people when Jesus comes into our lives and offers us the gift of forgiveness. Hear Reverend Larson illustrate this through the story of Zacchaeus, the dishonest tax collector whose life was changed when he met Jesus. Consider this story's impact on your own life by viewing A Life is Changed, Volume 2 in Reverend Larson's DVD video sermon collection called Basic Biblical Truths. This DVD is available by calling 1-888-693-2484 or by visiting christiancrusaders.org. If you would like a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 75th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.